My husband sends his love this morning. You know we love your church. Our church, The Bridge, loves you. We feel connected. We know we are siblings in the spirit and in the kingdom, and we are cheering you on. Before I begin, I just want to encourage you. There is a real sweet spirit of God. And I've been here through the years, and I can just tell you're really on the verge of God doing something significant. I loved the word that just came about the child. And I heard a sermon years ago that stuck with me of what made the difference with the burning bush. You know, it could have been any old bush. It was just a bush. What made the difference in the burning bush? It was the fire of God. When the fire of God consumed the bush, it went from any old bush, any old ordinary bush, to the bush that I'm talking about years today. It became the bush. And I believe Ashwood is on the verge of such an encounter with God, the fire of God, a real visitation of God. That really, the word transformation, for us to position ourselves to be ready to step into this, it's important days. It's days of hearing God, preparing our hearts for what God has prepared for us. Amen? So as I begin today, I want you to do a little exercise with me that we do. We started with our kids, and then now we do with our church. But if you need a scripture for it, there's a great one in Colossians 3:2. It says to set your heart on things above, not on things below. Set your mind in the spirit. And I love this word set. Has anybody ever set something? Not so much, I know, with my Texan accent, you can be like, what's she on about? Set. But do you ever set the oven? We set our watch. We set an alarm. We set the thermostat to the temperature we desire it to be, even before we feel a change or a difference. So we have to set our mind on things above, on where God's leading us, not what we feel today, the fear and the apprehension of what's going to happen with England, all of those things. We set our mind on where God's taking us. So one of the ways that we do that is we have this little exercise that we do in the mornings. We started when our kids were little, and we'd all climb in the car to go to school, and we would start out setting our attitudes, right? And we would say, this is a good day. This is a great day. And can't you imagine my children who are now 26, 24, and 22? Can you believe that? We used to bring them when they were just little. Oh, it's hard to believe I'm that old. I'm about to be a grandmother. Woo! It's fantastic. But you can imagine my kids when they were little, this is a good day. No, and my husband would say, no, come on, a little more enthusiastic. This is a great day. This is a marvelous day. And when you say marvelous, you have to give it some attitude. Marvelous day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So can you do it with me this morning? Can we set our minds on things of the Spirit? Ready? This is a good day. This is a great day. This is a marvelous day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Can't you tell when you speak those words and you set your mind and your attitude that then your feelings follow? Love it. Love it. Well, this morning we are going to talk about, I'm going to give you a little checklist of 10 things to know you might need a mind renovation if one of these areas, so you can write them down and maybe you can have a little tick box or a little, maybe you need a little circle. And at lunch today, over lunch, it would be fantastic if maybe you could have a conversation about which one of these God was really putting his finger on. Okay, so as we go through them. But I want you to think about this renovation. You know, I love home shows. I love British home shows. I try to get them all on my television that I can. I love transformation. I love before and after. I love when someone takes something that they found in the bin and they renovate it and make it into a treasure, because it's such a picture of what God is doing in our lives. But this is the important thing is, you know, in real estate, you may hear them say, it's all about location, 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 right? We know that a little shack on the beach or the seaside or maybe in Brighton is worth 10 times more than a proper house in the middle of nowhere, right? Why? Because of the location. Well, in Christ, we're new creations. We have a new location in the Spirit. We have relocated, and now we are seated in Christ. We are a new creation, but the thing is, in Romans 12:2 tells us this, although we have a new location that we have just been upgraded, there is some internal renewing and renovating in our soul to get in line with our spirit. So the Holy Spirit, and I love this, it's in the book, C.S. Lewis had a quote about, you think you're just happy to be a decent little cottage. But no, he has big plans for you. He plans on making you into a palace because he intends to come and live there himself. And that's the fantastic thing about when God renews us, he's not doing it just we call it flip properties. He's not doing it just to use you and make a buck. He plans to reside there himself. Isn't that beautiful? And we all want to have this desire that you will not, every year we grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, to where when I see you next year, or you see me next year, on the inside, I have been renovated and upgraded in my thinking, in the image of God, thinking like God thinks so much that we barely recognize each other. We never arrive. You know how our GPS says, you have arrived. Until we receive heaven, get to heaven, we've never arrived, because there's always something new God's doing, renovating us, renewing us, showing us how big God is inside of our minds. Now, does anybody know how many thoughts we usually think a day? Now, I know maybe sometimes we think women, you know, men have a nothing box where they like to think about nothing. I've never understood that. How do you think about nothing? And Dwayne always says, don't bring stuff in my nothing box. Or I try to decorate his nothing box with all kinds. No, I'm just nothing. I'm just doing nothing. But even with men doing nothing, the average person thinks 60,000 thoughts a day. 60,000. Now, this is so interesting. That's about one thought per second in every waking hour. Amazingly, 95% are the same thoughts repeated every day. Those are called habits. Now, and this is interesting too, on average, 80% of those habitual thoughts are negative. 80% of our habitual thoughts are negative. And we will get to that more about this negative factor. The sad thing is, our thoughts direct our destiny. So we are going to go, as the proverb says, as a man thinks, so he is. So our thoughts are going to lead our life and direct our destiny. And I want you to remember this thought or this quote. If you sow a thought, maybe some of you have heard it before, do you know what you reap? Like a seed, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. Remember, Jesus came and he said, I have seen that you have lusted in your heart. It was the thought. Why? Because the thought led to an action. If you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you keep sowing a habit, you reap a character. When you sow character, you reap destiny. This is what has become of your whole life. Where did it begin? all the rewind, all the way back. It began with a thought. Why does the Bible talk to us about taking thoughts captive? Because it starts with a thought. And the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 2:10, it talks about how there are high things or pretensions that try to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ. And when those high things aren't taken captive, they go and they collect friends. Their vain imaginations, their pretenses, their things, their arguments. And they bind together and they collect friends where you thought you only had thoughts of insecurity. But then when you allow those to stay, they invite friends. And now you have jealousy. You have divorce, you have anger, and all of these friends just start ransacking your internal house. You know, when Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts? Why do you entertain?" And they were amazed. Jesus knew their thoughts. He could read their thoughts. It's kind of funny to think about if we all had those thought bubbles over our heads where everybody could see what you're thinking. Oh, man. By the grace of God, we could not handle that. That couldn't be. But Jesus did. And he said, "Why are you entertaining evil thoughts?" I love how, I think it's King James that uses that word entertain, because many of us entertain negative evil thoughts like a proper British person. We let them come in and make them tea. We're making, "Would you like a beer? Would you like a biscuit? Here, would you like to lie down?" Because we don't want to be rude. And then as you make fear comfortable on the inside of you, it begins to invite friends. And then you look around and say, how did that get in here? How did that get in? I don't remember inviting adultery into the room, but it all started back with that one thought of lust. So I love that your thoughts are going to direct your life. Now, I love this because remember in Isaiah 55 where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I want you to see the difference in the Old Testament and through the cross, the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, he's saying, "My ways, my thoughts are so much higher. You can't conceive it. You're trying to live up to the law and you're not really getting it." Through the cross in the New Covenant, now there's a different perspective. And we have verses like 1 Corinthians 2:10. And it says, "Eye has not seen or ear heard the things prepared for you, but by my Spirit, they're revealed to us." And then in 2:16, it says, "Who has searched and known? Who can know the mind of God? But you have the mind of Christ." So now in the Old Testament, there was no way to know the thoughts. He's so much higher. We can't get to him. There's no bridge. But through the cross, with the whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where now we are the house. We are the temple. This building is not Ashwood. This building is not the body of Christ. This building mortar is not where the presence of God resides. You are. We are the temple, and now we have the mind of Christ. Have you ever thought about the verse in Matthew 22:37, that says, "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind." Do you love the Lord with your mind? Have you ever thought about that? If you took inventory of your thoughts, do they reflect a love of the Lord? We know that Romans 12:2, I'm going to read it to you in the Living Version, says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect." Now, so 10 signs that you need a mind renovation, Or you could say it like this: 10 signs or ways to know you have stinking thinking. Now, in Texas, we would say stinking thinking. Yeah. Now, this is so interesting because I've heard this term in church for years. I've heard messages on it. I've heard the term stinking thinking probably most of my life. Do you know it is actually a psychological term now? It is. You can find articles all in medical journals, and actually there is a Cambridge definition. Yes, in the Cambridge Dictionary, let me read it to you. Stinking thinking. Isn't this official? It's so official. I love it. Here is our definition from the Cambridge Dictionary of stinking thinking. It's almost like if you say it politely, it's better. You know? Stinking thinking. It is a bad way of thinking that makes you believe you will fail, that bad things will happen to you, and that you are not a very good person. Yep, that's the official definition from the Cambridge Dictionary. It is actually a scientific thing that's talked about in medical journals of how now it has been proven. And some of you, if you've studied Caroline Leaf, she is a Christian scientist who talks about this a lot, but many scientists talk about it who aren't Christians, but our thoughts actually affect our physical mind. Some of you may have heard this about how whenever a thought is an electrical impulse or like a neuron, and there's a saying that says when neurons that fire together wire together. So when you have multiple negative thoughts, they start creating toxic trees. That's what Caroline Leaf calls them, because they actually look like trees. Toxic, that look dark, trees in your actual ruts in your actual brain that look toxic and black and dark from actual negative thoughts. Your thoughts, they have proven your thoughts can release DNA within your body. Actual thoughts over and over, the neurons that fire together, wire together, and actually release. That's where you can have twins that have the same DNA. One becomes an alcoholic, and one has that same DNA, but somehow they overcome. Those thoughts release negativity and things in your DNA that by the blood of Jesus, you don't have to succumb to if your thoughts agree with God's plans and purposes over your life. So, our number one sign today is you have delegated your mind management. You have delegated your mind management. This is where, like I was talking about a minute ago, you have actually let squatters, do you have the term squatters, where someone will come in and they'll find maybe a derelict house and people will just take up residence. This actually happened in California, and actually California has a real problem with it because people keep properties but sometimes may not live in them for months at a time, but they want to keep the property. And so squatters come in and start acting like it's theirs. There's actually a story where squatters began living like the house was theirs and actually went to meetings for the neighborhood. It's called the HOA, and they voted in the neighborhood meetings, and they were a squatter there illegally. How many times do we let lies and things that have thoughts that have come in and are squatting in our mind, and we give them a vote for our feelings, for our future? And so we have to, number one, say, it can take you legally many, many months to evict a squatter. Because once they're in there, there's a thing known as squatter's rights. And the longer they've been there, the harder it is to get them out. That's why it's so important to take a thought captive right when it comes. But how do you get rid of a squatter? There's a thing called, it's a term where you have to press your right. Press your right. of ownership. You have to step up and say, this is my house. You have to have legal papers that say, I am proving the ownership. I am pressing the right to this property. And I am here to tell you this morning, your mind is prime property. And the only one who should have stewardship as we give our minds to Jesus, he's the owner and you're the steward, but no one else can manage it but you. No matter how much you, your spouse cannot manage your thoughts. We cannot manage the thoughts for our children. We can teach them how to think the thoughts of God and how to think like God thinks, but we cannot, no one can manage your mind but you. But so many times we advocate that, we delegate it to, okay, what does the paper say? Whatever the paper says, whatever the media says, then that's what I'm going to think. And then we have given them the vote of what our internal property is saying, not the mind of God within us. So we have to step up. Deuteronomy 30:19, and it says, I set before you this day life and death. Choose life. Only you can be responsible for your thoughts. Only you can manage it. And we cannot put it off on anyone else. The devil made me do it. Let's kick the devil out and start taking management and authority over those things. You can do it. Number two, how do we know we have stinking thinking or we need a mind reno? Is you focus your thoughts on what's wrong and negative instead of what's right or positive. We know we need a mind renovation, a mind renewal, when all of the time we go to the negative. We go to the fear. We go to the problem instead of what is God saying in this situation. You know, we know Philippians 4:8 instructs us, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue or if there is any praise, meditate on these things. Many of you have heard that word meditate is like chewing something over in your mind over and over and over, where we think about the thoughts of God, we think about the word of God. It's like this word ruminate. Have you ever heard that word, ruminate? Ruminate comes from, is Latin, that comes from, it's just like that chewing of how a cow will chew on its cud and swallow it. And then I know this is gross, but throws it back up, chews it some more, and swallows it. God has called us to think on the things of God, to think on the word of God, to think on what God's saying and meditate on those things while we're washing up, while we're at work, while we're driving. All the time we can meditate on the goodness of God. But what the devil tries to do is, even though we've been relocated, he wants to stay in these internal dialogues on the inside of us, and we ruminate on the problems. We chew it over. We think, oh, I should have said that. Oh, why'd they say that? And we chew it over, mull it over, think about it, play every scenario possible on the inside of us, and that is not meditating on a good report. Now, I just have to tell you this. I talk about this in my book, but there are so many studies that are fascinating, scientific studies. Many of you have heard of a placebo, right? A placebo is, it's not real medicine, but they give you a tablet or something and says, oh, it's fantastic. If you take this, it's going to change all of your symptoms and you're going to feel wonderful, right? And you've heard many times people, just because they started thinking different, they felt different. And it was a placebo effect. Well, the exact same thing is true in the opposite, and it's called a nocebo, and it actually means I will harm. And there was a study done with Parkinson's disease sufferers, and they said, this is an experimental drug, and I'm just going to tell you, you're probably going to have horrid side effects. But we think maybe we're onto something. Will you sign up for it? So they planted this negative thought that you're probably going to have horrible side effects. There was nothing in it. It was a sugar pill. 65% of the people said that they received and experienced every symptom that they planted in their mind they would have. 65%. There was nothing there. It was not real medicine. It was a nocebo. That's what the devil does, wants to do in our thoughts. I will harm you. And he plants those things and threats all around us of, and it's not even real. But he gets us to think about it. Remember those, I told you most of the, and I think we could blame it on the fall of man and all of the earth, of how we tend to go to the negative. Actually, our brains are wired to remember negative more than positive. It's so crazy. You have a fantastic day. It's so lovely. Maybe you and your spouse are out on a date. Everything's wonderful. You walk, and then you have one little argument, one little tiff, and that's what you remember the rest of the day. Scientists have actually studied that there's a 5-to-1 ratio, that for every negative thought, it takes 5 positive thoughts to offset the negative. Now, I'm sure one day we'll all be redeemed in heaven and this won't be so, but on this earth, negativity, see, it's like Velcro. It wants to stick to us. That's why praise and setting our mind is so important. 5 times more praise, parents, 5 times more praise than criticism or correction. Because that is what it takes to offset, because negativity sticks to us, just like Velcro. But the word of God and praise and exalting him, just like Philippians says, is so much more powerful. So check your box. Do you tend to focus on the negative more than the positive? Number 3, are you harassed by voices from the past, sins, failures, or trauma? 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about these strongholds. I heard a story. It was actually a friend of mine. Their mother passed away, and she was in her 70s. She had been married for 50 years, but years ago, probably like 30 years ago, her husband had had an affair. And I'll just pull a name out. Hopefully no one's named this in this room, but Sylvia, let's just say. And on her mother's deathbed, now this affair was forgiven, they reconciled their marriage, they had went on and lived together 30 more happy years, but on her deathbed, she was mumbling something about Sylvia. Oh, Sylvia. She had lived with Sylvia in her brain for 30 years, haunted by what Sylvia thought, or all of this. How many of us, we were blessed to be at Battelle yesterday morning, and so many amazing testimonies. So many of the girls walk around with the abuser in their mind, and they hear them speak to them every day. Many of them, the abuse was 20, 25 years ago. The abuser does not, probably not even remember the incident. They've gone on, it means nothing to them, but to the victim, they carry around the voice. They carry around that, and it has a filter over the rest of their life. That is not God's plan for us. We know that in this world we will have trouble, that things will happen, but there is healing. There is redemption. There is the presence of God that can come in the blood of Jesus, so that no mistake, no failure, no trauma that we've experienced has to filter the rest of our life with fear. Amen. I got to keep moving. Number 5, you have a scarcity mentality. Sorry, I missed 4. I know I've really got to hurry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for caring. Number 4, you talk mean to yourself. This is our self-talk. You know, the Bible talks about all through about our words, how our words have power. Words are containers of power. And many of us would never speak to someone else and say, oh, You're so stupid. Why did you do that? And just speak ugly, mean things to someone. But we say it to ourselves every day. How do you talk? Your self-talk directs your life. Our conversation is meant to be seasoned with salt. Our words have power. And I'll move on. There's so many things, and I know you're going to unpack all of these things and keep talking about them, but see if you check that box. How do you talk? Do you talk to yourself like someone you love? If you talk to someone else like you talk to yourself in your head, would you think, I love that person, or, yeah. Number five, you have a scarcity mentality. We also call this a poverty mentality. People want to ask the question, is the cup half empty or is the cup half full? What kind of person are you, right? Well, really the question is, the cup is refillable. Or the thought is. Because it may be, your cup may be half empty today or a lot empty. But the goodness of God is, it can be refilled. And I love this, that I just want to camp here for a minute, because I really feel like this is strategic for Ashwood's future. There are, and I'm going to just use this umbrella here, so forgive me for opening the umbrella in the room. I do have a Mary Poppins bag. You never know what could be in there. But, you know, so many of us, we want to be so humble, and I just want enough for myself. And we just read in Psalm 23 a minute ago about how our cup, what? Runs over. Our cup overflows. But many of us have limiting mindsets, where God is pouring out provision, he's pouring out ideas, he's pouring out, maybe it's not in a way we've ever thought it would be before, but we hold up these limiting mindsets that we can't receive the infilling and the provision of God. Now, I'm not just talking about finance, although we know God does want to bless us to be a blessing, right? Not just to fill my pockets, but so we can advance the kingdom of God, right? But this works, this scarcity mentality is, it works in so many aspects of our life of, I don't have enough love. I can't love that person. I just don't have enough. And we know verses like 1 John 3:1 that says that we are lavishly, it says, what love the Father has lavished on us to be called children of God. That word lavished is an overflowing love that's not just enough. Because some of us have so much of a mentality of just enough. Oh, I don't, just enough. But God is wanting to give us overflowing. But to do that, we have to start removing these limiting thoughts. So many times I had this limiting thought of, I can only speak to women. I can only preach to women. It was my limiting thought. God was trying to pour out opportunities. He was trying to pour out wisdom. But I had this, I would hold it up. I can only speak to women. It was my limiting thought. And my husband was freeing me and saying, no, I want you to speak to the church. I see this on you. I want you to speak. And I would hold up my little umbrella. I can only speak to women. I was never going to receive another greater anointing until I tore down the stronghold of fear and tore down that limiting thought to receive the goodness of God in a bigger way. That yes, God's called me to speak to people. He's just called me to speak to people. And if he wants to use me, he can use me. And I'm not going to hold that fear up of, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too, whatever you fill in the blank of what you're too, or I'm not enough. That we hold up that limiting mindset. And I encourage us as a people today that we don't hold the limiting mindset of, well, we don't know about Brexit, or we don't know what the future holds, or we don't, and we have this limiting mindset when actually this is the time there's always going to be crazy things going on all over the world until we go to heaven. We can't let that stop us advancing the kingdom of God, telling people about Jesus. And I love how Luke 6:38 goes with this, these thoughts of give, and it will be given to you. It's so hard to have the mindset of giving if you're holding up your umbrella of just enough. But then what does it say after that? It will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It'll be poured into my lap. For what measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. With what measure you use, what measure do you use in your thoughts? How does your thoughts measure your life? Amen. We got to keep moving. But God's really speaking there. Number six, you have runaway thoughts that lead to panic and steal your peace. Runaway thoughts. Has anyone ever seen a stampede? You know, it starts with one crazy elephant that just got spooked by a little bug. And it causes a stampede that actually can cause great damage. And there was nothing to fear in the first place. I've seen this in Sri Lanka right after the great tsunami in 2005. We went and did relief aid. And, you know, all of the people were traumatized. But actually, the tsunami had ceased and we were cleaning things up. But one day, it was just the devil. He would just, that's how he does. He just a threat. And somehow someone whispered, there's another tsunami. I saw animals running. And there were people all in this hospital block with a high wall that had barbed wire over it. And somehow someone spooked someone and it started running through all of the crowd. And people started throwing their children over the wall. They thought they were saving them. There was no real danger. But a panic. It's one little thing. Panicked. Maybe your boss calls you into work and says, I want to speak with you. And where does your mind go? Oh my goodness, my boss has called me in. I bet they didn't like this and they didn't like this. And before you know it, you've created a thought stampede and you're already fired in your mind. Okay, check that box if it pertains to you. There is, 2 Timothy says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Where we can let the peace of God guard our hearts and minds. Amen. Number seven, you worry more than you worship. You worry more than you worship. Now, just quickly, I want to let you know, this is, I love this. I'm not sure where it came from, but a study was done on the things that we worry about. 40% are things that will never happen. 30% are about the past that can't be changed. 12% are about criticism of others, mostly untrue. 10% are about health, which worrying actually makes and adds more stress and makes our health situation worse. Only 8% of the things we worry about are real problems that could be solved. So interesting. Worry is projecting yourself into the future to solve a problem that does not exist. You may remember Corrie Ten Boom talking about how worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. So how do we begin in our renewing of our mind and mind renovation? We start turning our worry, we twist it, and we set it to worship. So instead of worrying right now, we go to Israel tomorrow. And we arrive before anyone else, and I've never been to Israel, and I'm a planner. I love TripAdvisor. I love my itineraries. I like to have studied before, and I want to know exactly what's going to happen. So it's really easy for me in my mind to worry because I don't know where our bag tags are. I don't know I'm not sure how this is going to happen and how this is going to happen. And I could ruminate and let my mind run away and actually steal the joy of being in Israel. Or I can flip it and I can say, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I just worship you that you're going before us. You're making a way. You're going to give us wisdom. You're going to know these things. Do you see the difference in how it directs your path one way or the other? Moving on, number eight, and we're almost there. We're about to land. You've forgotten how to dream or to imagine creative solutions. You need a mind renovation if you've forgotten how to dream. Do you know that Christians should be the most imaginative, creative people on the planet? Why? Because we realize we are created. We are in the image of the Creator, the artist of Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, the skies, the universe. We are made in His image, and if we think, if we have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us, God is going to give us creative solutions to problems. He's going to give us creative ideas for wealth to advance the kingdom. He is going to give us creative health situations. You will have, it's actually Tony Miller who says this, you will have the heart of the city when you can solve the city's problems. Don't you think the Holy Spirit can give us creative ideas in education? How to help the poor? God is not limited. He's just waiting on us to take those limiting mindsets off and think the thoughts of God. I love, it's actually Hans Kepler. You can study about him. He's a physicist. And I love this because he's actually one of those people who are very smart and not known as a free, creative hippie type person. He loved numbers. He was a physicist. He was a scientist, not someone who you typically think of being creative. But he actually was in the revolutionary thought that actually everything doesn't revolve around the earth. He realized it revolves around the sun. And actually people would say, how do you have all these breakthroughs? And his answer was, I think the thoughts of God after him. Could you not have a breakthrough in your industry, a breakthrough in your company? Why? Because you think the thoughts of God. Creative, opening ourselves up to be creative again. Number 9, you waste brain cells on things that don't matter. You need a mind renovation if you are wasting brain cells. Hebrews talks about how we lay aside every sin and thing that entangles us. Hebrews 12, but there are things in our mind that we waste brain cells on. Things like things we can't change. Things about what people think of us. Things about what's none of our business. It's adding stress to our life, and actually that stress hinders our health and hinders us in so many ways. What about thinking evil of others? You're wasting brain cells. Just bless them. What about things that stir up strife? How many brain cells have you wasted on social media arguments that do not matter? Yeah. Isn't it there's so many things in our media today to waste brain cells on. So start thinking when you see something on the telly, is this just wasting brain cells? Or is it actually storing up God's goodness in our minds? So, are you wasting brain cells? Don't. We call it, if you're stirring up strife, we call it poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. Does this really matter? Will it matter? Is this a battle that has spoils? Or are you just fighting and there is no benefit at all? You're just stirring up strife and you're just causing stress in your heart and in your life, and dividing the kingdom of God. How will the world know Jesus by our love for one another? So let's stop wasting brain cells on things that don't matter. Amen. And number 10, and the worship team can come back. You know you need a mind renovation when you're not sure what God thinks about you. Bill Johnson said, "You cannot afford to have a thought in your head that is not in His." What does God think about us? What's God thinking over our future? Over Ashwood? What's in God's heart? You know, in Psalm 139, it talks about how vast are the sum of His thoughts for us. If we tried to count them, it would be more than grains of sand. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has lavished His love on us. His thoughts toward us are good. His thoughts toward us are redemptive, are loving. His thoughts toward us are like Jeremiah 29:11. They're for a hope and a future. They're like a father. And how do we come to the kingdom? But like a child. knowing that he is a good, loving father. His thoughts over me are for me to win. Did you know God thinks like a winner? I know in England we love the underdog. It may seem like your circumstances, that everything has been against you, and maybe you've been a loser. But in Christ, you're going to ultimately win. Whether you know it or not, you're a winner. Just like Gideon. And God was saying, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. Did you see the thoughts of God over him? And what was Gideon doing? He was holding up that umbrella. No, I'm the least. My tribe's the least, and I'm the least of my tribe. He was holding that limiting thoughts up. God, how could you think this of me? But God's thinking those big thoughts over all of us. And I believe in the next weeks to come, he's going to show you first what things need to be torn down. Strongholds. Lies that you've been in agreement with that are not the thoughts of God. And all agreement is the same opinion. So you may have had agreement with actually the devil's thoughts over your life. And you've been siding with him because you've let it stay in your head. My family's never going to do anything. My family's just filled with anger. We're always angry. We can never forgive people. Is that God's thought over you? Well, when we tear down the stronghold and we demolish the lie, we actually step over into agreement with God's truth. And that's where freedom starts to come, and the freedom, truth, starts to set us free. If you would, can you just stand? And I just want to pray. Are you willing to give your mind and ownership of your mind to the Lordship of Jesus? Maybe you've given your heart. Maybe you said you gave your life. But it's time for us to love the Lord with all our mind. And there's some things that need to be evicted. There's some lies that have been squatting. And I believe in the next weeks that the Lord's going to start putting his finger on fear, putting his finger on insecurity, putting his finger on things that said, we've lived with this long enough. It's outdated. It does not belong in the renovation of your life for the future. It's time to let it go. Let it go. Unforgiveness that's tying you to that offense and that abuse. It's time to kick that voice out. The blood of Jesus comes and cleanses. The washing of the water of the word, as we know the word and think on the word and meditate on the word, it's like water that cleanses and washes our brain. And we're actually brainwashed in a good way by truth, by truth. And then God starts rebuilding a foundation where we've been shaky, where maybe we've not been bold or we didn't have confidence because our foundation was not built on the truth. But he starts giving us a foundation. And then, he starts filling our mind with creativity. He starts filling our mind with abundance. He starts filling our minds with prayers for other people, with words of life for other people. Can you imagine what your mind could look like if it was filled with the goodness of God? And the love of God, the love of the Father for your neighbors, the love of the Father for the Muslim down the street. What would your mind look like if it started reflecting the mind of God? So right now, can you just agree with me? Lord, can we just say that? I give you my mind. I give you my thoughts. I ask you to cleanse my mind. Help me think your thoughts. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I will know your truth. Lord, I just thank you right now for a transformation, a renovation. I thank you that limits are coming down. strongholds and walls, barriers are being broken. Even marriages restored. Relationships restored. I just believe in the next few weeks there's even going to be families and relationships restored because people renewed their mind and stopped living with the voice of the past. We thank you, Jesus. And right now, can we just receive the thoughts of God over Ashwood? Lord, right now we take off every limit of the past. We take off every limit of the government. We take off every limit of our pocketbook. We take off every limit that makes sense in the natural, because we set our heart on the unseen. We set our heart on the mind of God for this community. We set our heart on all the people you want to see touched and changed, lives transformed. Lord, we thank you. We receive your thoughts. What are you dreaming? What are your abundant plans? And right now, we take off every limit that says, just enough. Just fill it to just enough. And Lord, we ask you for an abundance mentality, because we have a saucer under our cup. And as it overflows, we can feed other people. We can give people, we can give things to other people. We have an overflow in our life that flows into other people to touch nations, to transform communities and neighborhoods. And it all begins with the thoughts of God. Amen. Amen.